Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Human Behavior Podcast. Today, we're discussing some of the psychological reasons behind why we are all prone to getting scammed. For the show, we answer three main questions. Why do scams work? What is the psychology behind scams? And who is prone to falling for scams? During the episode, we explain how our brain gets hijacked by a good story, which causes us to lose our ability to think critically and rationally. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and please check out our Patreon channel, where we have a lot more content as well as subscriber-only episodes of the show. If you enjoy the podcast, I would kindly ask you to leave us a review, and more importantly, please share it with a friend. Thank you for your time, and don't forget that training changes behavior. All right, Greg, we'll go ahead and get started. So good morning to you and hello to everyone who's tuning in to the Human Behavior Podcast. We appreciate all of you. And for today, Greg, we're going to be talking about the science of scams and sort of why scams work. And we'll get into define what an actual scam is, but I typically use that term sort of loosely as a point, meaning just anything where someone's trying to get over on you in some way. It could be something minor, it could be something significant or major, but we kind of classify it, or I put it as a scam. And so there's a lot behind it, because you know if you're listening to this episode or watching it, you've either fallen for a scam at some point in your life, likely, or are prone to fall for a scam. It's something you can't really help, meaning they really do affect everyone. And so some of the things I want to kind of get into is, you know, why do scams work? You know, what's the actual sort of psychology behind them? Who can fall for scams? Are some people more susceptible? That kind of thing. Because it's a great way to understand actually a lot of the concepts we talk about when it comes to perception and cognition and fundamental attribution errors and confirmation bias and all of those things. Like it's such a great way to look at all of those, is how we can fall into it. And it's always easy to point and laugh or something. You know what I mean? You can say, wow, how would someone do that? But you know, just like when we're talking about, I don't know, anything, I try to put myself in that person's shoes and say, you know, how would I have fallen into that? What could I have gotten wrong? And so some are very complex and highly organized, and some are just, you know, like I would say the shotgun approach, where people are just sending rounds and buckshot all over the, or the belt fed machine gun approach, where they're just, well, if I put enough rounds down on there, I'm going to hit a target eventually. Yeah. So they vary, and we'll jump into all those. But I know you wanted to kind of start off with a great story for one.
And just before we throw that story out there, I want to make sure that everybody that listens to us understands that we normally preface things by saying you can see danger or opportunity before it occurs. So recently, our good friend Dan sent me a message where I had used the difference between life and death. Making this observation could be the difference between life and death. And his answer was, you know, that's a little strong because it's danger or opportunity. Yeah, it's left a bang, it's danger or opportunity. But this article will give you the example that it is life or death, that people can die when a scam goes off the you know, deep end, Brian. And listen, this could happen to any of us or any of our parents. So this discussion stems from an incident on March 25th of this year, and it occurred in South Charleston, Ohio. And South Charleston is a small village in Clark County, Ohio. Maybe 1,700 people live there. So you got William Brock, an 81-year-old Ohio man, and he's been charged in the fatal shooting of Lolitha Hall, a 61-year-old Uber driver. And Brock believed that Hall, the Uber driver, was working with a scammer. So Brock tells investigators that he shot Lolitha outside his home on March 25th because he thought she was working with a man who had called him numerous times pretending to be an officer of the Clark County Court. And that person was actually a scammer who tells Brock that one of his family members is in jail with a significant cash bond. So the first calls were threatening enough. But then, and remember, this guy's 81. There's a lot to unpack there, okay? Gift of time and distance, hint, hint. But the calls increased from, I'm an officer of the court, to, hey, we have your family member hostage, and this is a ransom demand, and you pay or we're going to kill him. So the scammer who called Brock told Brock that an Uber driver's on the way to his South Charleston home, and they're going to pick up the money. And guess what happens just a few minutes later? Okay, Ms. Hall, the Uber driver, who has no role in the scam whatsoever, she shows up and is immediately confronted and subsequently shot and killed by Brock. You have to set into motion this in your brain to understand why the felony murder rule is out there. The guy that put this entire sequence of events, started it moving, was not Brock. And it certainly wasn't Ms. Hall. This right. is a scammer that wanted money. And guess what? His the proximate cause of those deaths is his lies, his you know, subterfuge. So I wanted to start with, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's such a powerful story. And a lot of times it's kind of a version of what they call like virtual kidnapping. And you see that a lot too in foreign countries. It's a, when we travel a place too, they warned us like, hey, you might get a phone call in your hotel room saying, you know, we've got so-and-so and you need to pay us. And again, this set into a chain of events. So, and part of the reason why this story works so well and it's so powerful is one, he's an older gentleman. So it sometimes can be a little bit easier to scam someone like that because, you know, they don't understand the technology, the complexity, or haven't heard of this stuff maybe before. Right. So the victim that they chose, and then, you know, co-opting someone with, you know, without them even knowing they're being co-opted with the Uber driver and getting them involved. So now that suddenly becomes real. So even if I'm on the phone and you're calling me saying, yeah, I've got your family member and you need to pay, you know, I could sit there and be like, okay, whatever, this is scam, this is BS. Now all of a sudden a car shows up, you know, to collect the money. This just got real. I mean, it adds so much to the story. And then obviously, you know, this person, it's perfect. The Uber driver has obviously no idea what's going on here and didn't know any of this stuff is happening. So it's a powerful story. I put the link in the episode details for people to read and check out. But I wanted to start with that one because it's a great example of some of the newer things that people are seeing out there and doing. And it's a great example of how you can really, one, like you said at the beginning, this scam could go from I'm trying to make a couple bucks to someone ends up dead, which that person is responsible in some way. They're liable for this crime. I think they already know who it is. I know that it's still early on. We can follow up, but they knew because they had to use their Uber account or something like that. So they're probably able to identify the person. But the idea is now someone's dead. This guy, Brock, he's still going to go to jail probably for something. I mean, you know, he killed someone now. So without getting into that, I want to stick with the whole scam portion of how this stuff works and how this escalates. And so, you know, just to kind of loosely define, scams are fraud-based tricks that people use to steal money through ransom, purchases, investments, donations, payments, and other means which the scammers know are wrong, illegal, or unwarranted. So scammers generally target their victims online, via text, or over the phone. So however they gain access or in person, you know, is how they do it. That's going to be dependent on what the situation is. But just like, you know, the Nigerian prince scam email, you know, that stuff is, you still see that stuff 10 years later or 15 years later or however long it's been going around because, well, it still works some of the time, right? You know, the idea is this stuff can stick around because sometimes it'll keep working. But there's a number of ways that scammers get access to their victims. But there's sort of three big questions I kind of brought up at the beginning that I want to discuss in detail. So one, obviously, you know, why do these work? You know, what's the psychology behind them and who can fall for them? Like who's more able to fall for scams? And kind of like, we'll get to that one last because it's not really a trick question, but some people are more prone to it, but we're all very prone to falling for a scam. So that's why I want to start with the first question, sort of like, why do these work? Like how can they be so easy to get over on people?
Yeah. And you know what? Scams don't have to be clever or very detailed to work. And you brought up the Nigerian prince needs help. And you got to remember the origin of that scam, Brian, was a letter. It was even before it was an email. Okay. It was a letter that came to homes and people would show up at their local police station saying, is this real? And they'd say, no, shred it, throw it away. Okay. So it's always more about the victim than the scam. And so I just need to get the ball rolling and see how far your imagination is going to take us. And if I'm a good scammer, then I let you take lead on most of this, you know. And so, and remember, we're talking low stakes scam, gas money, high stakes scam. I'm in love with you. Let's get married. You know, sign over your credit card or whatever.
Yeah.
So we have a spectrum, let's say, where some scammers don't do any research and they just cold call until they reach someone. Some scams are so simple that on the phone, as they're starting up and you hear the noise in the background, the person pretends they can't hear you and they go, "Hey, can you hear me?" And then they record you answering yes. And then they use that to justify a future purpose. So we have to remember that entire households can be affected financially because one person answered that phone. One person answered the scam. And high stakes, right. Again, you know, the scammer is thinking high returns. And they get so serious that the scam can end up with death. And we saw that. And Brian's going to put a couple more on the site that you can take a look and research that involve the death of one or more of the participants. And we have to understand that there's a chemical reaction. It affects my brain.
Yeah, that's,
you know?
So yeah, you brought up before you go to that, because you're kind of getting into it. But you said it's more about the victim than the scam.
Yep.
So what do you mean by that? Like what is, can you sort of elaborate on
exactly
on what that means?
I have a secret. And as long as I shut my mouth, nobody else is ever going to know that secret. But if I share that secret with you, now it starts leaking out, right? So the idea is that when I call you or confront you or walk up to you or send you a letter on the scam, it takes two to tango. We've heard that a billion times. I can't get there from here without you allowing me access. So the further you go on, tell me more. Okay, I'd love to help. You're feeding those flames, Brian. If you just say, nope, not today, and shut it down, it's over. It's done.
Well, that's what, and I've heard someone, I heard someone talking about it. It was probably a talk or interview with someone. I can't remember who it was, but I really like the way they put it, is kind of just how you put it. But it said, you know, it takes two people to lie. You know, it's one person to tell the lie and one person to believe it or follow through with it or go, okay, yeah, I'll accept that as an answer, or I'll accept that standard. So that's so much of what we get into as well, because these things aren't just something that happens. Everything, you know, you interact with it, it interacts with you. So you have some say in all of these situations. You kind of went down, what you meant by that, but I always like that takeaway of that it takes two people to lie. So it's another example. But sorry, I know you're getting into
no. So Brian, to dovetail on exactly what you're bringing up, it affects my brain. What I mean is the scam itself and the scammer are both trying to get access. And if you get access to my prefrontal cortex, they got it made. We think with our prefrontal cortex. This is our the center of our rational brain. We count on our prefrontal cortex to make good judgments and understand the long-term consequences of our actions or our decisions. So when you start fucking with my emotions or my family or the time element, that makes me stupid. Any time that we can create that time distance gap in our prefrontal cortex, we're likely to make a conclusion or draw a conclusion rather that's going to be wrong, or that's so quickly decided upon that somebody is going to make a mistake. And I don't mean that it's just a math problem. I mean, like your ATM. Hey, listen, you know, you got to put this on a credit card or go buy a gosh damn gift card and drop it in the mail. What? Okay. When you hear the premise, when you're sitting in your own living room, Brian, it's not affecting your prefrontal cortex, right? So we look at it and we go, that's stupid. Who would fall for the Nigerian prince, right? But Brian, when you're in the moment and you're on that call, and that person is trying to build it up, you know what? I can see how it happens. And we know that it does happen.
No, and you're there's different ways, because when you get into access and it messing with our brain, you know, especially when it's someone that we know does the introduction, right? Or there's some third party involved in this, even if it's unwitting, even if they don't know about it. There was one from a few years back where these folks made a ton of money off of people, but and they ended up getting all the way to me. But they had it was an introduction from one of my friends who's I won't mention the folks, but he's kind of well known in sort of the fitness and you know, kind of world and training and personal training. And then this was an introduction from a guy, actually, it's because this is the part you can read about online, is the his name is Mark something, but it was the trainer. He's a big celebrity trainer, personal trainer, and he did all the training for that. Remember the movie 300 that came out? And it was like they trained all these guys together. And they
like
did this
that.
Whole thing, and it kind of came out. Yeah, it came a big thing. But that guy was part of the scam. He got scammed by it, and it was something with, you know, this Hollywood inside thing, and you're going to come in, and we'll pay you to do this, and all that. And anyway, but he ended up even someone calling me, because who gave my number is one of my buddies, like, oh, you got to get Brian. He would be perfect for something like this. You know what I mean? So I'm talking to this person, and it just, the whole thing was so odd. And they did the setup, like, hey, I'm so-and-so's assistant. She's going to get on the call here shortly. I just want to make sure you know what this is about. And I'm like, And then she comes on, and it was like these really direct, weird questions. And I was like, oh, this has scam written all over it. I was like, none of this makes sense. This isn't even how it's done. And so, but it's funny because of the way they did it and the way they talk and the questions they ask. Cause I talked to other guys I know that do like a lot of there's some big TV shows where they're in them. And they're like former military, and so they're in them, and they do the technical advising, right? So they do all like the SEAL team shows where they train the guys how to, you know, move and shoot and act and look the part. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like be tactically sound. So I know some of the people that do that, and you know, it's funny because I was talking to them, and even they were like, it sounds odd, but also, you know, it's close enough to where like kind of that's how Hollywood can be sometimes. And so they were like, even them, they weren't doing the, oh, run away from it. They're like, I don't know, just see what it is. You'll know, you know what I mean? You're going to figure it out. So, but right. it was funny because even talking to them. So the insiders in that industry were like, well, it's not unheard of that something like that could happen, but it does sound odd. You know what I mean? So it was such a great example of it was sort of cognitively close enough to what they did. And I want to tie that back to what everything you just brought up with the brain. It really, really affects those catecholamines, mean going, oh, I want this. I want to be a part of this, or that sounds cool.
So I'll show you a quick trick to gain access that your brain will accept through the prefrontal cortex. So we're going right through the front of the brain. We don't have to go through the limbic system or you know, titillate you with danger or opportunity, right? So the phone rings, and you look at the phone, and it comes from a government number. Now, you know, now you can choose any number and dupe off of it and do whatever you want to do. And you go, hello? And I go, hey, Brian, it's Dan. And you say, hey, Dan. And I go, how you doing? And you go, hey, fine, I'm in. I'm already in there. And now I have that trail going. So even though you catch on right away and go, who is this? No, I don't. The idea of me starting off with your name in the familiar as if there's no stress that's applied, that's the opening volley. And guess what? If they get that far with you, they pass it on to the experts. They pass it from an intermediary that just cold called you and said, yeah, I got a couple of hits on this number. And then they sell those numbers. So there are people out there that are refining this, like advertisers would use a teaser to hook you on television. So we're not talking about every single scammer is this low key, you know, hey, again, hey, can I get some gas money? That's a scam. That's a low-level scam. But these people that are working in the higher levels, trust me, they've done the research. They've looked up your name, and they see the photos that you're posting. And then they're going to ask, yeah, well, hey, you know, or they find out about a birthday or a significant date. And Brian, we're constantly on transmit, right, as humans, and specifically more so as humans trying to train other humans how to do in-person, face-to-face encounters. So we're subject to a lot of scammery. You know, I don't know if that's a word, but
it is now.
We get hit a lot more than most people.
No, you're right on that. And you know, it does kind of fall into a number of different categories. So it's kind of like the next sort of question on here is, you know, what is the psychology kind of behind scams? And we're starting to get into that. You start with the neuroscience of it, but it is what these can be sort of broken down into different elements or different sort of categories on why they work. And so some are going to work more on others, you know what I mean? Versus some might work on you versus, well, we can't get Brian with those, but we can get him with these because, you know, that's where he'll draw him in.
So I've got a couple that I'll share with you and share with our audience, but I have to let you know, folks that are listening or watching us, that Brian plays the calliope. And one of the things that he tells me all the time when he's rehearsing his calliope is that, look, the song can change right in the middle to appeal to the audience. And that's what a good scammer will do. A good scammer will take you where you're leading them. So let's talk about a couple of these. The family obligation. Hey, Jimmy can't post bond without your grandma, and you don't want him to be in there over the weekend or over a holiday or whatever else. Okay, so now family obligation, that pulls at a certain amount of people. And I'll tell you what, in different cultures, culture is context, that might be a very, very important string mm-hmm. on which to pull. Then we have fear. Look, we have your family member pay our, or we're going to shank them like a prison movie, right? A sense of urgency. Look, this ship sails in 25 minutes. You run down and buy a gift card and hand it over to the Uber driver or we're out of here. Excitement. Look, you won. All you got to do is cover the shipping and handling, and we're going to send you your cut of the profits. That one still goes on, and people are constantly calling police agencies and saying, hey, we just got this from a credible source in the mail, and remember that there's legal implications if you put stuff through the mail, and they say Publishers Clearinghouse. Well, Publishers Clearinghouse is a legitimate thing, but guess how many scammers take a look at that and get real close to Publishers Clearinghouse, right? That's one of the excitement ones. And then finally, I categorize it in five, guilt. Look, now I've got a picture of your dick, and you thought you were sexting with a young girl or boy or whatever you, watermelon. But now that I've got it, I have your list of friends, and I'm going to tell every one of your classmates, and I'm going to send them a picture of your dick. Now you can pay me. Now that one alone, Brian, has resulted in so many deaths since January that it's remarkable. And there they're targeting high school age kids, mostly boys.
Yeah.
And those boys are very, very susceptible. So here, this is a perfect example. Each of these impairs the rational thinking center of my brain. So my prefrontal cortex is now inhibited. Additionally, the emotions that these messages evoke, plus now a time element, guess what? I don't have the time to use the gift of time and distance. So I'm unlikely to come up with a good evaluation of the likely outcomes, the options, or assess the situation objectively. And that's where the problem is. So if I drive too fast on a dirt road and outrun my headlights, I'm liable to hit a tree. And that's exactly what they're going for. Here, the tree, low-level tree, pay me the money. And I might keep using you. The high level is I could hit that tree, airbag didn't deploy, and we're all dead. And that's the way we have to think of these. This is high risk, high return game.
And the time element is always huge. And that's just a consistent sales tactic. You'll see, you know, there's tons of products out there. You know, you go, oh, we're having the sale right now. It's only going on for this long. And they have the countdown timer on their website. And you're like, okay, I better get it now. No, but it's just the time element really increases the sense of urgency and the fear and the family. It actually enhances all of those other elements too. Right. I mean,
Let me hit on the temporal one time, Brian. So when we're talking about time elements, I'll give you two examples. One, I grew up in an environment where Kmart was a thing. And when you went to Kmart, you got good quality, low price stuff. And they had the blue light special. You can only get this deal when that blue light was on. So that added to the mystique and the intrigue and the fun of getting that deal. Yeah. Well, I'll take it to the other end. There were a couple of coppers flying around Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they looked down and saw a Krispy Kreme that was in their jurisdiction, and the light came on for the hot, fresh donuts. So those cops conspired up there to land in the parking lot and run over and get them some free hot donuts. Do you see how our prefrontal cortex in both was inhibited? Low level, blue light special. I probably don't need those extra underwear, but I'm going to get them. And you know, the Gregism, one day all underwear will be brown. And then we got the other thing, the Krispy Kreme, where these guys are flying around in a helo and risking their very livelihood. They're risking their job, Brian. They're taking themselves out of the role because guess what? It's a donut. But that's what happens when our prefrontal cortex isn't driving the ship. That's what happens when we see this opportunity and we go, I got donuts, sounds pretty good right now. So I want to make sure that we all understand that there's a scale, and that scale, that continuum is always in motion. So when we talk about the gift of time and distance, giving yourself a little more distance from the situation, which is also a metaphor, it's giving yourself more time and giving yourself more physical distance. Guess what? It doesn't seem that intriguing or alluring anymore. And now we're making better decisions. That's the key. The key is that we give ourselves more time, go back to the prefrontal cortex, and we go, no, I really don't need to do this. What are some of the long-term consequences that will affect this short-term gratification. And we don't do that enough as humans because we're so we repeat behaviors so often that we don't stop and think, what are the likely outcomes?
Yeah, and the other ones are the time element, but then also if you're in an area like this was why to bring up gas stations again when someone comes up walking or someone comes up to you to ask for money or something like that, and you can't go anywhere. I mean, because you're literally sitting there filling your car up with gas. Like you're locked in that position. You're just a sitting duck at that point waiting and someone can come up. And that's why those areas are always frequented by people because they know once that hose comes off it goes into your car or whatever. Once you start filling up, like you're not going anywhere for a while. So
clearly,
again,
you worked as a mechanic for many years.
Yeah. the idea being like with all of these, we can sort of all fall victim to them. And I look at it too is even when I'm I need to co-opt the insurgent, here at home to help me with something in the yard or whatever. Like, I'm like, all right, I gotta put something together to entice her to come out and do this, whatever it is. Yep. And so I'm basically doing the same thing. I'm creating a scam to get her to either, come out and help me or do something first or work on this project around the house before she goes out with her friends or something like that. So the reason why I'm bringing those up is when I look at it that way, it kind of helps me identify these scams a little bit easier. And again, I use the term scam for a lot of things. It could be something so low level, someone just trying to get in front, someone trying to get to the front of the line at the coffee shop or something
it's
like
a
that.
Scam.
Whether
gain an advantage.
Yes. And that's what it is. And even sometimes if they're legitimate and they're running late or something like that, they still got to bamboozle you to kind of get in front of everyone. So those elements are going to be similar.
Handicap parking. Okay. Some people use the handicap parking sticker that they, ill-gotten sticker to gain an advantage and park closer. And we haven't entered into karma, that level of science, because the only real science is a horoscope, right? But the idea is that when you take a look at it objectively, they don't pass the smell test, do they? Because after a while, those things are going to bite back. And sooner or later, like people don't understand what we mean by that. If you allow that slippery slope to start in your life, you'll be out of tune, out of sync with other patterns that start developing, and you'll start either falling for them or not trusting anybody. So that's why you have to be in tune. That's why you have to be simpatico with these. So when you see somebody that really needs a handout, hey, can I have a cigarette?
Yeah,
you get what I'm trying to say? You know the difference right?
That's a good point. And sometimes, the language sort of that we use or people use for this stuff. And that's why, I use the term scam. So, I use it a lot because I don't mean it as something even that deliberate sometimes or something that serious, just lose this look anytime someone's trying to get over on someone. You're scamming them. Right. But one of the things that people do when they kind of get someone and they get that victim, they'll use a certain type of language and they'll legitimize sort of their concerns about something. It's the same thing. It's like with anytime there's elections going on, you see political ads. Political ads are the best because it's like you could just pick apart all these elements. You're like, they'll bring up anything, and I don't care who it is. They will use whatever they can, and it's a scam. It's a form of another. It's like I'm trying to play on your fears, right, and legitimize your concerns, and then I'm going to point you at who the enemy is, and now you have no other option. Like, oh God, this makes sense. We must stop that. And it's like, all right, like, what are we? Is that really what's going on? And
exactly.
Everyone does that, but it's such a great example of all of those advertisements because they're really, really trying to win you over to take action to do something. So they're actually trying to change your behavior or promote that behavior or get you to literally go to a poll physically and vote for someone. I mean, it's such a powerful example of it that even when it's just politics, just how it is. But when you look at it that way, it kind of, again, those things help me identify other situations where someone's just trying to sell me a line of crap that I don't need. You know, it's the
exactly.
It's the classic, you know, used car, like, hey, now let's talk about rust proofing. You're going to want to get this thing. It's like,
exactly.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about here? So right. those are a couple other elements that, you know, I wanted to kind of add into when we talk about the psychology behind yep. scams. It really will legitimize some concern that is completely irrational concern that you may have. And so that's the point.
You and I, when we're together, constantly invoke the movie Scrooged with Bill Murray. Acid rain, yeah. Drive-by shootings, the apocalypse and the explosions and everything. And you know what? You're eating the popcorn, man. You can't help but watch.
Yeah.
Again, that's a form of access. Now, that would be a psychological, right? Sociological form of access. Hey, it's great for our community. Physiological form of access. Hey, you can look so many years younger, Brian, with this balm that I make from a seashell, right? Those are scams that are physiologically based, and then the psychological based. Acid rain. These things are right. And guess what? That's fear.
Well,
so we can go back to each of those.
Fear,
right?
Yeah, grief, I was going to say, it goes right back to fear. Fear is one of the best motivators in anything. It's like you said, right at the beginning, it bypasses that prefrontal cortex. You're going right to your limbic system, and now I'm in survival mode. And once you get someone in that survival mode, those decisions become very binary, right?
Yes.
So I don't create other options for myself. I go yes or no, or I need to flee, or I need to fight. I need to buy this thing, or I need to get on board, or I need to run away. I mean, that's the idea. Is it comes down to so who then who can fall for scams? And I know
that's such a great
technically
question.
Anyone, but there is actually some good research out there on
there's science.
Who scammers target and why.
So I will tell you this. I will give you a story from growing up as a copper, and I mean maturing as a copper. The one thing that I found out about our agency in Michigan is that if you sat at this front desk, you were looking at the rest of the police station that was in front of you. All of the traffic bureau and records were behind you or above you. And then you had the door on the left that came in from the parking lot and the courts and, you know, it's sort of the busiest area. And then the right-hand door, beautiful, wonderful, big doors that were never used. They were almost never unlocked, and they led out to a place where there was a flagpole and some a memoriam, and there were no parking spots. The street outside was going fast and furious, so nobody ever pulled over there and came in those doors. It was more the architect wanted it for a photo. You know, it was a beautiful photo opportunity. So we learned fast that anybody that came in from those doors, something was wrong with that person. And we started calling them the 96 door, the nut door. And I hate to use those terms, but you know, you got to understand 4 years ago, that was du jour. That's how things happen. And so I can remember many times, being in the station or working the front desk, that the scrum started when somebody came in that door and the shit sandwich was in full bloom, right? So even in area, and Stephen King has made $1 billion doing that, right? Picking out the car or the business or the hotel that was evil and that had those things.
Yeah.
So I would tell you that when you take a look at that, the story I'm trying to tell here is that person is somehow different and they chose that door, even though right over here was the best door and you can see it from there. You can see a parking lot and it's safe and you can walk up. So who can fall for scams? That person. And what do I mean by that? Do I mean that they're sub-intellectual? No. But what does Gallup say? Gallup says that adults with no college education are twice as likely as college grads to be victimized in the past year. There was a whole bunch, 21 November 2023, is the Gallup story I'm citing, folks that want to look that up. And households earning less than $50,000 a year are about twice as likely as middle-income people to be scammed. And young adults have the highest overall rate of household victimization. In other words, they're the one that the scammers pick on rather than anybody in the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, think about just those little data points for just a minute before we go any further. So what are we trying to say? We're trying to say, look, if you're earning less money, you're always on a lookout for opportunity, which means that scams might be more prevalent in your world. Not that you're dumber. And look, college education generally means that you've traveled more. You've experienced more things with other people. You're not constantly in that defensive mode where you're going around trying not to get robbed, trying to, right? That you're working that job. Yes. Oh my God, I got to have two jobs. What does that mean? That means your prefrontal cortex is already inhibited, and the youngest, they're just less experienced. So if we look at Gallup's numbers, I would say that it's a cross-section of our society that's needy. They need more, and they don't have the type of time to make better decisions or draw more reasonable conclusions. And trust me, you don't think that a scammer is going to research Gallup? Gallup regularly asks Americans how often they worry about types of crimes, right? And so being tripped by a scammer is, or sending money to them or providing access to a financial account, all the stuff that goes on with scams is the second highest victimization concern. Only identity theft ranks higher than scams. So that means that it's on your mind all the time. But Brian, you and I could take a small, low-level, low-stakes scam and still make it through the day. But what about one of those people that doesn't have that you know, high-functioning job with a good income that's coming in? How do you walk back in and tell your wife or significant other that you sold the cow for these three fucking beans, right? I mean, where do you think that story came from, right? The beanstalk story is a huge example of this, I think.
No, and that's a great one. It's a great example, but and I would even say, you know, because you like you said, if I'm not making as much money, I'm always on the lookout for opportunity, right? I'm always trying to like get ahead or do something, right? But on the opposite end of that spectrum, that's true as well. You know, you go to like very, very wealthy people, or who are maybe in finance or whatever, who are constantly looking for an insight, constantly looking for that edge, constantly looking for something else. Well, why do you think Bernie Madoff, you know, was able to fool so many people with this Ponzi scheme, and why those things continue to work? And how many of these, I think someone did a story on it too, is like, you know, when Forbes has their list of like 30 under 30 or these billionaires or whatever, and within 10 years, half of them, like half of the people that they had named as, well, look at these people creating all this stuff. It was all fraud. It was all, I mean, literally half of them are all going to jail because it was all a BS scheme. That's the thing, is that it you're more susceptible there as well, because you're in that world going, any one of these things could take off and be the next billion-dollar company. I want to make sure I'm getting in there. I want to be part of this. It's almost like the same mechanism on two opposite ends of the socioeconomic spectrum, because it's how we're sort of wired. You know what I'm saying?
So let's use science to try to prove that, Brian. So the majority of people that experience property theft, they have their home vandalized or broken into, okay, they're going to report it. The people that are victims of scam, less than 30% of them ever report it to police. Why?
Yeah.
Well, there's an ego thing that's there too, right? You're going, oh my God, I don't want anybody to find out I'm this stupid. Now let's take a look at a demographic also from the Gallup poll that said the states hit hardest by the investment scams were Nevada, California, Washington, Florida, and Hawaii. How much does it take to live and thrive in Hawaii? Same thing with Florida being on the water. Look at what Nevada and California have. Both of them have gambling, and they have big, beautiful homes or very, very low economic rural areas that go around. So I have to scam what? You remember the old saying from the world's most effective and efficient bank robber back in the day? What did he say? Why do you rob banks? And he said, that's where the money is.
Yeah.
So the idea is, you understand and I understand that they're not going to go for everybody. Like, squatting in a house is a completely different crime. We're talking about somebody that's risking mail fraud and criminal fraud charges and all these other things, but they're not going to do that for enough money for the gas. That's that low level that you don't have to worry about. They're going to do that because they need your car. They need your identity. They need your house or your money. And they're willing to put in the game. They're the time to play the game. And you have to be a willing participant. So if they find that you're not, they have to do the nudge. And what's the nudge? The nudge is there. Now I'm going to appeal to that greed, or I'm going to appeal to that, you know, family, or I'm going to, you know, say, listen, I have to threaten you at this point to tell you you're in it too far. I'll go to the whatever. And those things work. How do I know they work? 30% or less people report them to the coppers. Brian, it would be a different number. I really feel it would.
No, that's a great point. A lot of people don't want to report that stuff. They don't want to, you know, admit that they were scammed. And we see stuff like that all the time. And that's why a lot of those scams continue to work. And that's why some people get away with them and continue to do them, because no one reports it. They're embarrassed. You know, they got taken advantage of, and no one likes that feeling, obviously. And so it's, you know, not going to want to tell anyone about it, even though everyone falls for this stuff, even though we all do. I mean, we fall for our own scams sometimes that we create in our heads. You know what I'm saying?
That's so true.
Start believing our own BS sometimes. And, exactly. And you know, we want to, you know, people want to believe. I know you included in there too, and I'll put a link to an article, but one of my favorite ones is the Catch Me If You Can, the Frank Abagnale guy,
yeah,
who made a living off of lying about lying. Like, he only committed a few crimes a long time ago, and he lied constantly about everything that he did. And then they turned it into a movie, and then was able to continue that lie over decades of, and so I'll include the link in the episode detail, but the idea is people went back, a couple of people said, wait a minute, this sounds like BS. And they went back and looked at everything that he said he did, compared it to his prison records and what was known. And it was all BS. Even my brother, when he was in college and he was going through taking some finance courses and stuff, and their school paid him to come out and talk about what he did. And years later, they were like, wow, this was all BS. He kept it going. He's kept it going for decades, you know, on all BS. Cause that's the thing, is like, if a scammer is a scammer, we've all met someone before who's constantly trying to scheme and scam. That's who they are. You know, if they're continuing through life that way, they're not going to suddenly change. And that was his whole story. He's like, oh, well, I've changed. I did this back then between these years, and, you know, it was wrong. And it's like, no, you're just continuing. You're continuing the story.
It's become a lifestyle. It has modified you as much as you've modified it.
It really is. And you know, like we keep saying, we can all fall victim to this, because one, it goes back. Well, my favorite is the line from the X-Files. Remember, people want to believe, right? We want to believe, and we want to not just believe you and what your story is. We want to believe that we've got some insight and some knowledge that's going to gain us some sort of advantage. Or the other end, oh my gosh, I need to help this person, right? I want to, you know, that's the whole nonprofit world is filled with fraudulent scams that people are doing. You know, donate money, a couple bucks here, you know, that you got to be really careful on all of those, because if you don't know about that organization, do not give them your money, you know, because you don't know what's going on. And there's a lot of those folks out there that are just doing it to make some money and do whatever. But you're tugging on the heartstrings of people that really are well-intentioned.
No, and let's talk about that briefly. So all my research showed that in investment scams alone, it's just under $4 billion a year. So if we understand that less than 30% of those are reported, we just take the three.
Yeah, I was going to say,
multiply that by four. You get what I'm trying to say? So that's a $12 billion just an investment scam. So how much do scams cost us? They cost us a lot. And they become part of society. So William Thompson, long time before Frank Abagnale, was the one that gave rise to the term confidence man. He would a con man or con woman was gaining your confidence with upper class people, insinuating yourself and all the things that happen. And then, by the way, hey, let me borrow that vase or that chiffon robe or that beautiful watch of yours, or I need a couple of bucks and I'll be right back. And then they wouldn't. And then the rich people would go, oh, it's a minor league loss, I'm not going to report it. And guess what? William Thompson was high in the hog for a good long time. So to get something named after you, like Ponzi. Ponzi's a guy.
Ponzi, that's so Charles Ponzi. Yeah, he's a real person.
So we don't sometimes think about how important that is. And then you get somebody like Silicon Valley, Stanford University, Elizabeth Holmes. She founds Theranos, right? Comes up with this new blood.
Theranos, cure.
And I revolutioned everything. And then all of a sudden, when you take a look at it, she's a billionaire and she's a criminal. It was all fraudulent. There was no, you know, when people just scratched the surface. But guess what, Brian? That greed made me want to believe. So I think, you know, one end of the spectrum and the other, I think fear and greed are the ones that motivate us most. And when we don't have that gift of time and distance, we're more apt to fall for them.
And that's why I brought up the sort of opposite end of that socioeconomic spectrum. Like, this isn't just Nana falling for the Nigerian prince scheme over email. This is, these are people that are thinking they're gaining some insight. So what did she do? She had access to all the right people. She could speak, you know, intelligently enough to people out who weren't experts in that area. And then would she started, you'd see her, she started dressing like Steve Jobs. She had the black sweater, like turtleneck sweater, and had that weird affect in her voice that was not natural. And she would do all, and it was all this image. So she created this. Well, even recently, I was telling you, there was someone interviewed her again. I mean, this is after, obviously, she's been found out she's in jail or I think released. I can't remember. But the writer for this article got slammed because they fell for it. They got in they kind of wrote up this like this piece that was very flattering to her, and it was almost like, oh, we should have some sympathy for this person. And it's like, you got duped, man. Yep. Like,
you fell for it just like everybody else. And so she took your confidence. She didn't take your money, right? And it's bad. That's still a fraud because you're gaining an advantage. And you know what? We have to understand that there's laws that are out there. So if you feel like you're a victim, make sure you do that. Brian and I aren't into the TTPs of that. But I will tell you that everybody plays into it. Give me an example. A pretty woman. Can't think of the actress to save my ass. Julia Roberts. She was in so many different films. And Julia, don't hate me for this. I know you text me often. Yeah. But Pretty Woman a hooker that is going to make it good. And the idea is that everything that was about that show was a falsity. I've known hookers my entire adult life, professionally and personally. And the idea is it's a bad situation that they're trying to get out of. There was a standing order in Detroit that if you took one female prostitute in non-attribution, that they'd give you time off without pay, because she had so many diseases and smelled so bad. That poor woman, that was all the lifestyle that she knew. So we purport something, and then all of a sudden that gives it legitimacy, and that's how a scam works. That Nigerian prince understood that, hey, you don't understand, man, I got the shaft, right? And now all of a sudden you're going to tell me more, and then, you know, I kind of got screwed on this, and the only thing I can think of is maybe if you help me out, we can both be good. And now that's the parking lot scam, Brian, where, look, hey, I think I found a diamond ring in the parking lot, and the other person looks at it and goes, hey, that's my ring. Oh, well, this is what we'll do. We'll both put money in this envelope. Brian, back in the day, and I apologize for using dated terms. I don't know what the current DEI is, but gypsy scams. We were in Hungary, and while we were building the observation towers for our course there for the Hungarian Special Forces, the people came in cars and were taking the wood and the nails out of our towers so we couldn't climb up in them because they needed something to sell. So everybody is always in motion, and that's what we have to understand is if you're spinning just to get to work and do your comb your kids' hair and do that, you're probably on the right track. But there's somebody that's looking and living in those margins, Brian, and they see an advantage. And if they can work into that advantage, hey, do you mind dropping me off here? Hey, do you do that? Coming up to the window, hey, I'll wash your window for whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, you gotta be on scam alert in your brain. And you know who? We've got a friend that is always on scam alert and has a lot of good background information on this, if you know who I'm talking about.
What's that? The
Our Andy Brown. Andy Brown is a good guy that's got a lot of stuff on his site about getting scammed like this.
Andy Brown is Andy Murphy from Secure Dad.
Andy Murphy. Oh my God, Andy is never gonna.
Andy Brown.
Hence Brian Andy, not responding.
Andy Brown was Air Force.
Who we love. That shot an active shooter. No, Andy Murphy, Secure Dad.
He's got a lot of
I make mistakes.
Great stuff on there where he talks about TTPs and different things that you can do and how to help with deny access, especially with kids too, and cell phones and even some of the stories you were talking about at the beginning. With all of these, you're getting into the way I look at something like this is it's part of the human condition of why we fall into these things. And it's mostly because either we want to help or we have all these different reasons, right? Whether it's greed, it's personal gain, I want to help someone out. I have, Nana who falls for everything because she thinks everyone's the sweetest person on the face of the earth, right? And that's what we fall into. And I use, and this is why I kind of brought up at the beginning, is when I use, you know, hey, this is a scam, it's not necessarily when I use that term, meaning like, okay, this is some big elaborate scheme. It's just someone's trying to get one over on me. And the sooner you can realize that, because it's really about boundaries, right? If I allow access, or if I don't set boundaries with people, someone's going to try to push those boundaries. Someone's going to test them. Someone's going to, you know, that's how people gain access to me. And so if I look at it from who do I want to allow access, it's like, well, where are these boundaries going to be with this individual? I mean, you know, it's the guy walking up at the gas station to ask for a couple bucks when you're sitting at the car. That's why it's all about time and distance. Once they make eye contact with me and start walking over, you know, I can go, eh, that's close enough right there, right before they ever take another step. Because now I'm saying, no, you're not controlling the situation anymore.
Right? We're taking back the narrative.
We're at least on equal footing here. You know what I'm saying? I'm not letting you get that advantage. And so when you know, this is why we reiterate the time and distance and how big of a factor that plays. And this is such a great example of one. I mean, you go back to the story from the beginning, this 81-year-old guy, he's just like, okay, you've got my family member. What's going on? He's immediately gone into like, there's something happening here. He's immediately scared. Now there's someone showing up at my house.
In his own driveway, coming up to his front door.
You could tell if you read through the articles and what happened, it's so obvious that this guy is just, he's trying to figure out what's going on. He's scared because he's like talking like, who the hell are you? Give me your phone. Shoots her once, then keeps talking and shoots again. Like, and imagine you showing
because
up
he as believes Uber driver. The story. And here's the thing: we could talk to the defense attorney on that. Exactly. And Ms. Hall didn't need to die, and we're sorry she was part of the scam. But the entire idea is that Brock used his pistol to gain information because he thought a family member was in peril. I have kidnapped this family member. You have, I mean, if you can't see that, we're not talking a premeditated murder here. We're talking that yes, a person died, but there's so many mitigating and factors here. And I'll give you this too, Brian. We always have to look at the historic perspective. Okay. Do you understand that we used to have things that you could order and they would be delivered cash on delivery, that you paid the postman when they showed up? Can you imagine that nowadays? Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about the robberies and homicide. The other thing is, go around in your neighborhood. This is just like the feral cats and the looking at shopping carts. Look for a sign on an old person's home in your neighborhood that says no solicitors. Okay. What does that mean? That in the old days, people used to come up and knock on your door. That's how they gained access. Avon, to sell a vacuum, to sell you candy, to get their kids' football team jersey. All of those things happened to the point that old people put up no solicitors because they didn't want to have to deal with your scam at my front door. So now, because technology is, you know, comes in every aspect of our lives, the scammers just got smarter. They got more efficient, let's say.
Yeah, they're always going to be one step ahead of the curve of cat. You know, that's the whole thing, is why a lot of times we don't get into the TTPs because they change so frequently. And
I agree.
And you know, they're always going to be ahead of it. So you know, I think we kind of covered a lot, and some of the different reasons sort of why we fall into these are always because they're fascinating to me, because they work. They work because we're human beings, and they work on, you know, I don't care who you are, where you're at, you're so susceptible to these things. And so the more you can recognize what a scam is, whether it's the, you know, throw in, you know, round up at the cash register to donate money to this cause. It's like, I don't know anything about that cause. You know, exactly. I really don't. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. Like, I have my things that I put my time and my money towards, and that's what I support. Like, I don't have to do that in every one of these situations. And it's like, it's because it could be a scam, and they make it so easy all the time.
It's ubiquitous everywhere. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's just another click. It's just another this. And it's like, no, man, I gotta set that boundary, because, you know, the better you get at that, I mean, the better you get at recognize them, no matter where you're at. You know,
right.
I mean, how many times you're like, all right, we see something a mile away, and you're like, yeah, I know where this is going, but I don't think so. And so you can sort of get better at that. And, you know, just realizing how much it affects our psychology and just the catecholamines in our brain, how this sort of kick in during any of these situations. And then once I put that, you know, I lessen that time or that distance, man, I get dumb pretty pretty quick. Or, you know, and the same, which is the story from the beginning, that, you know, he went very primal very quickly. And yes, given the context of the situation, it's completely understandable why he did. He is not an irrational human being. What he was in the moment thought it would believed all of that to be true. So what would you have done? Who wouldn't have sent, then grabbed this person and put a gun to them?
81 years of his life doing the right thing, right? And even the Uber driver, she's 61 years old. She's been around. Yeah. She knows the game, but she didn't understand the game when somebody says, yeah, just go to this address. So you co-opting somebody else in the normal day to day, Brian, that's what makes it easy. That access is so critical. And remember, folks, we're the ones that allow it. That's what we're trying to get across here.
Well, that's, that that's what
I have to be a willing participant.
Yeah, that's what I always get across to the insurgent too. I'm like, stranger danger is fucking bullshit. Yep. Like, it's going to be your friend that, you know, goes, hey, you want to get drunk and high? It's going to be your buddy. It's not like it's one of your own. There's no, you know, the creepy van where someone runs out and grabs a kid happens like once a year or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's someone you know. So that's the idea too. And so same thing with scams. But we covered a lot, Greg. I would also add to anyone, check out the Secure Dad podcast. He does a lot of great stuff, especially for families and kids, and to know how people are kind of like gaining access through different areas or apps or things that like you wouldn't think of that clearly weren't designed for that. But he'll go in and show you, be like, hey, you got to take a look at this because, you know, people can access this way, even if you have these settings and now your kid's talking to someone thinking that they're just another kid on TikTok or something like that. So he's really good at that stuff because he brings in a whole bunch of experts and talks to them too. So just shout out to Andy Murphy and shout out to Andy Brown too. We haven't actually talked
to him. So now that I've conflated him, I love Andy Brown. He's such a wonderful guy. And I actually wrote down on my yellow pad right here, I wrote down Andy Brown. I put two asterisks, Secure Dad. So I was hooked from the very beginning when I was writing. In my mind,
you scammed yourself. Never get this out is of what I mean. Yourself.
I did. I believed it. Anybody that wants to see physiology, go back to the point where Brian just didn't say anything. And I was like, our buddy Andy Brown. And Brian said nothing again. My histamine level was at like 270. I was beet red. Well, so I could lead the sleigh on Christmas.
I didn't know.
Because I believed into it. I was like, oh,
I didn't know where you're going with that. I was like, where are you going with this?
Well, how often do you do that when you're with me, though? Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty common error with me. Because I'm thinking one thing, and Brian's like, no, that was Da Vinci.
Greg is constantly scamming himself. No, I know this. I was there.
I fell for me again.
Greg, that happened in 1872.
That's perfect. Well, I'll go on LinkedIn and apologize to both of those idiots.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's laughing the hardest at it too. So that's good. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. I'll check out the episode details for links to those stories, and then we'll have more on Patreon as well to check out. But we thank you all for tuning in, for listening, and giving us your time. And we hope you learned something. And don't forget that training changes behavior. That's all for today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. We do appreciate it. If you'd like more information or deeper dive on anything that we talked about, you can always sign up at our Patreon site or reach out to us at thehumanbehaviorpodcast@gmail.com.